long-awaited first episode of Breakaway Beauties. We are currently recording at Mercedes-Benz of Nashville in one of their conference rooms, so thank you so much to them for allowing us to have this space tonight. My name is Abby Miles. I'm here with Cameron Martz and Abigail Martin.
Hi.
Hey.
Let's introduce ourselves a little bit. I'm Abby. I've been on Penalty Box Radio for about 5 years now. I do post-game interviews, journalism, and B-roll, and I also own a highly successful Nashville Predators-based account on Twitter called Smashville Proud.
I'm Cameron. I've been a part of Penalty Box Radio for 2 years. I do photography and journalism, as well as photography for the University of Tennessee Ice Falls. I'm also the owner of Predator Central on Twitter.
And I'm Abigail. I'm a senior at Harpeth High School. I've been a part of Penalty Box Radio for a year now, where I do post-game interviews. And I'm also co-owner of Predator Central.
Okay, as if you didn't know enough about us already, we're just going to tell you a little bit more. I've been a hockey fan since as little as I can remember. My dad was a North Stars fan, and he moved down here, and he kind of picked me to be his kid that he just got into hockey, and the Preds were our option when I was little, and here I am. I've been a diehard fan since I can't even remember when, and I will be a diehard fan for the rest of my entire life.
Yeah, probably same. My dad raised me as a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, which I know is probably not the best thing to say on a Nashville podcast, but that's where I got my start with Sidney Crosby and Marc-Andre Fleury and all those guys. And then 6 years ago, we moved down here, and ever since then, I've been diehard Preds, and Preds will probably take over my life for as long as I can remember. So what about you, Abigail?
Well, I've always been loyal to the Preds. My mom and I have always been really close and more on like the tomboyish side, so we liked sports. And so one day, she got tickets to a Preds game, so we were like, hey, let's go watch some hockey. And this was when I was really young. I was probably about 6, and of course, I got used to seeing the fights, and that's what got me into it. And now I've fallen in love, and I can't get myself out.
All right, enough about us. Let's get started on talking about this Preds hot start. We went 13-3-0 in the first 16 and won our first 8 on the road. That is absolutely insane.
I could not ask for a better start, honestly. Even though we had 3 losses in 16 games, I still think that that's better than anything I could ask for.
It's always a good show of a team that you can win both home games and away. Gives you some type of comfort through the rest of the season because obviously you don't get to play at home every single game. So it's nice to see that they can take care of it off the road.
Let's talk about home, though. The Preds have not been half as dominant at home as they were last year.
Yeah, I could agree with that, but I think it's just because it's the start of the season, so they need to kind of warm up to the crowd a little bit. I don't think the crowd is as into it as they normally are, especially in the playoffs, and especially with the end of last season, winning the President's Trophy, winning Western Conference, and then winning the Central Division. I think there was a lot of hype towards the end of the season last year to really bring the crowd.
Yeah, I can see that because, I mean, there's definitely a lot of high expectations coming from the crowd, bringing in a lot of new friends ever since the Stanley Cup run. With all the new season ticket holders coming in, I mean, it's just the beginning of hockey season, as you've mentioned, and it's just going to take the crowd to get warmed up and just the team getting amped up with the crowd as well in the same situation and get the chemistry together.
Yeah. Speaking of the beginning of the season, what did you guys think about Pekka getting injured and UC having to step right in and kind of take his place and carry us?
Well, obviously losing Pekka is like, it sucks, but it was really nice seeing him step up and take control and kind of show us, as we all hate to think of it, but eventually we'll be the future of the Preds. I mean, Pekka can't stay here forever as much as we'd love for him to, but it's going to be really nice to see Saros pick up, especially that he can do this now with such a short term, and he didn't have a lot of time to prepare. Just think about what he can do in the future. That's pretty powerful to me, I think.
Especially being a backup goaltender, they have a lot of weight on their shoulders because you're going from losing your starting goaltender to now being the starting goaltender and playing back-to-back games for who even knows how long. Luckily for Pekka, it was only just a few. So I think UC stepping in like that was a very, very big thing for the Preds and giving them the 2 almost best goalies in the league. So
I mean, I genuinely think that he is like a solid backup and a solid look for our future. Like for him to be that, like I hate to mention his height, but I mean, that's a really big asset. He's small and Pekka's very large. And for him to step into Pekka's shoes and just be able to handle that the way he does, it was really impressive and really kind of, it was softening the blow of realizing that Pekka won't be here forever as much as we definitely wish he could be.
Speaking of Pekka, do you guys think that Preds are going to retire his number once he's gone?
That's definitely not even a question. He will definitely be the first number that we retire.
I agree.
And I'll be insanely upset about it if it is not.
I agree.
I don't think there's any way that we can't retire, like, can't not retire his number. I mean, he's Pekka. He's our brick wall. He's our monster block. I mean, what else can you ask for from your starting goaltender that's been here forever? And he's always been the weight you back up on. And he just holds so much weight with our team.
It's so hard to remember, like, a Nashville Predators team without Pekarina Angle.
Was there a team without
Pekarina? I don't know. Yeah, it's just so weird to, like, look back on that.
Yeah, he's pretty much, like, the heart of Nashville.
He definitely is. The heart, the wall, the body, everything of the Preds. Okay, so let's talk about the Jofa line. Well, the Jofa line now. But before the Arvidsson injury, they were absolutely insane. They fed off each other, and it was always so dangerous for the other team when we had our first line out there. It was always a confidence booster for the entire team, knowing that they were the best of the best.
Yeah, I mean, like, Philip Forsberg had 12 goals and 6 assists for 18 points in 19 games, and Joey had 3 goals and 15 assists for 18 points in 19 games. So I think that's pretty good so far for them.
I mean, yeah, I think it's great. What about you?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty substantial, and it's really essential to the team. As you said, Abby, it's a really really big confidence booster for the whole team. Having your best line out there and having them produce like that, I mean, it's kind of just speechless to watch them play together. They have such a good chemistry. And without Arvidsson, of course, they're going to have to find new chemistry for 6 to 8 weeks that we know of for now. But with Philip and Johansson, I'm pretty sure anything is possible.
You say anything is possible, but apparently our power play isn't.
Yeah, the Preds are currently 10.8% and 31st in the league on the power play, while the Winnipeg Jets are at 34%. I don't even understand how a power play could be so awful.
That's such a big gap, and it's really hard to think of, considering that we have 5 players in the top 10 of the plus-minus. I mean, we have Philip at 3rd, Johansson 4th, Bones at 7th, Colton for 8th, and 10 is Matthias Ekholm. And with those big players, it's just really hard to think that we can't produce with a man advantage.
And, like, our penalty kill isn't terrible. I can't put it through my brain why we're so bad on the power play, but our penalty kill is just, like, a little bit not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we're 18th in the league with 78.7%. So, I mean, it's not too big of a deal, but then again, you need a good PK in order to have a good power play. So, and also in Arizona's case, who we played this past Thursday, they have a 91.4% on the penalty kill and also 10 shorthanded goals, which is just also...
including one against us.
Yeah, which is just crazy to think about, that you have that many shorthanded goals in such a short amount of time.
I'm starting to get convinced that our penalty, like, we score and we shoot more when we're on the penalty kill rather than with the man advantage. And that's kind of upsetting, but it's nice to see that we, even though we're down a man and we're shorthanded, that we can and we are taking the confidence to take those shots. But it's upsetting not to see it with the man advantage, because you think that'd be common sense, but it's fine.
And now that Austin Watson is back, I think our penalty kill will finally get that little bit of booster that we finally needed. I'm excited.
Yeah, Abby, tell me how you really feel about Austin Watson returning.
I'm very excited. I definitely expect him to score some shorties here soon. But in all jokes aside, he is easily our best penalty killer.
100%.
He puts his body in front of every single shot. He's not scared to take on anything. And he will, if you give him the puck, and you give him a lane down the ice, he will be gone.
Yeah, I agree with the same thing with Bonesy. Even though he only has 1 goal on the season, I still think that him and Watson's skill level and how they play is very, very, very similar.
So I see that we have a cure for the penalty kill, but what's the cure for our awful power play?
I just think taking shots from a different point. I mean, we're pretty much predictable at this point. I'm pretty sure any team could stop our power play, because we always shoot from the blue line and we shoot from the face-off circles.
We shoot from the, like, from the blue and everything, but I don't think we're protecting enough in front of the net. Like, we're not waiting for the rebound. We're out of place the whole time. I mean, it's really hard to consider that we have such good, like, players on the team. You mentioned, like, a cure for the power play. We have a cure for the power play. Like, it's within the team. We just have to get to that point where we find it. We find a groove. We find something that works. And, I mean, Cameron, like you said, we're completely predictable. Shooting from the blue line, it's not going to get us that far. It hasn't this far. Let's accept it. Move on. I think we really need to start taking chances in front of the net. We can change things up by driving to the net. And if we are going to shoot from this, like, up top, then be in front and just really be ready for the rebounds. I mean, not every goalie is going to be able to hold on to the rebounds and get that whistle. So just keep playing until the whistle does blow. Keep taking your chances. I mean, you have a man advantage. Like, there's no – I don't think there's any excuse at this point.
Is it just me, or is every good shot that we, like, possibly have, somebody is in front blocking it? Like, with the, whether it's a stick, we – it's like we wait – like, Philip Forsberg open on the circle, whatever. Like, that is his shot. If he shot it immediately, it would go in. But it's almost like we're waiting for the goalie to get into position and a player to get in front to block it until we finally decide to shoot.
There are times where it even feels like there's 10 guys on the ice for the opposing team because there is always a blocked shot. And something the Preds have lost in Hartnell and in previous players is that net front presence. We do not have that anymore. To redirect the puck, to get the rebound, anything. It's just always outside and not in, like, the area of the goalie.
Yeah, I mean, we get lucky with some of the stake, like, rebounds and everything there, but I don't think luck needs to be that big of a factor anymore. Like, you know what you're doing. You're professional players. We have complete confidence in the team. So I really just think that we just need to work harder and, as you said, like, improve, like, net side and performance. I mean, we have all the necessities that we have to be a good team. Obviously, we are a good team, but we can't stop now. We need to continue to improve and being very controlling and dominant in front of the net. It's such a big factor. I mean, it's an easiest way to get a goal and get confidence within the team.
Yeah, I just think that they need to shoot. They need to shoot, shoot, shoot. They don't shoot enough. They just pass the puck and try and get fancy with it, and that's probably one of the biggest things that makes Preds fans mad in, like, nowadays, mm-hmm. is that they do not shoot the puck.
Back to our game against Arizona, they blocked 19 shots out of our total 46, and it's so hard to believe that we won 60% of the faceoffs either, because it always felt like when we were on the power play and in the offensive zone, we were losing the faceoff, they were getting a run up the ice. We just never seemed to have the offense that we really needed, even though we were getting all the shots on that we needed.
If I'm being honest, honestly, 60% of the faceoffs does not surprise me because we have so many good centers that I don't think people actually realize are centers. Obviously, we have Johansson. That's the big name player that everyone knows is a center. But we literally have a whole line of centers. Colton Sissons is a center, Callie Yarncrook's a center, and Bonino's a center. But people, I don't think, actually realize that.
We have the depth, but because we're not producing as we should, I mean, with this depth, there's no excuse, I don't think. There's going to come a point where we're going to find a breakthrough. And eventually, it's not just going to be Johansson's name that we see. It's not just going to be Jofa, but it's going to be that presence that we're going to have to wait on and figure out in order to really find our game. And everyone's going to see who the Nashville Predators are and the depth that David Poile has created. I mean, Laviolette's done great with the organization. Poile's done a great job. General Manager of the Year. We have the depth. We just have to find the way to best use it.
Okay, and before we do that, who do you think our biggest threat is?
Honestly, I think it's the Sharks because they have now beaten us twice when we've had the lead. I think they have, now that they have Erik Karlsson, which, in my opinion, I don't find Erik Karlsson to be the best defenseman in the league, even though he's won the Norris Trophy multiple times. He literally has a negative 10 plus or minus when other defensemen in the league are in the positives. And I do not think that he will lead them to a cup, but I do think he played a good game during the last couple games against the Preds. But I think it's the Sharks. Simple as that.
I think it's the entire Pacific Division. Like, if you think about it, we've lost to the Sharks, we've lost to Calgary, we've lost to Arizona, we've lost to Anaheim. That's a really big blowout for us. As good as we are against the Central Division and any division in the NHL right now, to be so bad against the Pacific, I don't understand what the reason is.
It's really tough to think about. But it's going to be another thing that it might just be, like, mentality, like, Pacific Division or not, you're going to have to find the groove. You're going to have to find a way to say, like, put aside the whole jet lag excuse and going through a plane ride. Yes, I'm sure it's rough. Of course, I wouldn't know, but, I mean, you're hockey players. We, like, it's the Preds. They can do literally anything. It's, and not just completely biased, maybe a little bit biased, but as I mentioned earlier, we have the depth. We have everything that we need to be the best team and remain the best team and just to go into the Stanley Cup, but I know I'm looking really too far in advance. But Pacific or not, I think we're going to find a way to get through.
Do you guys think we'll win the Stanley Cup? Do you think this is our year with the start we've had?
I always want to hope so, But I always feel like if we talk about it now, then it's not going, then that's the only thing we're going to be looking at is this one loss. Oh, great. We're not going to make the playoffs. Like, one loss in the playoffs, we're not going to make the cup final. I'd rather wait and kind of just ride it out until the very end, until we make it there.
Do you think being the underdog like we were in 2017 really played a part into us making the Stanley Cup final run?
Absolutely.
100%. I'm not going to blame it on the President's Trophy curse. I may or may not believe in it. Who cares? But we went in with our heads held high. We had such a big ego. But then just to kind of fail like that, against the Jets, we looked terrible. We looked like we didn't want the game. And for all fans, I'm sure it hurt every single one of us to think, oh, we want this so bad, but yet our team that we're supporting, they don't. And it's kind of rough to see and to feel. But for the cup that you asked, I mean, I'm not going to look at that. Not even through playoffs or at the very end of the regular season, I don't think I'm going to look at it. Because anything is possible. I mean, the Knights came in last year. They had a good start. I mean, we're not even going to talk about how they got there. But they got there. They went all the way to the Cup. And they were a favorite to see. The Capitals have never truly been a favorite to see. They're known to be, like, spectacular in regular season. They go to the playoffs, and they choke. Sorry to say it. But, I mean, I'm really proud of them. Cool. Good for you. But, I don't know. I think going in as an underdog, as you mentioned, it gives you something to play for. You don't have that high expectations. You're taking it game by game.
Yeah, that's true. Well, speaking of favorite to see, if the Preds don't make the cup final, who would you guys like to see playing?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I feel like I'd want to watch the Caps again, if anything. I'm sure that my dad would like to see the Pens go back. Honestly, I wish that the Penguins and the Caps weren't in the same division because I'd love to see them in a cup final for it all, 100%.
But that would be a really good cup final.
I feel like it'd be very, very intense and not just a second rounder when one of them has to be eliminated.
That's one thing that would be cool about hockey, if, like, divisions in the playoffs didn't matter.
Yeah.
If, like, any team from the league could play each other. Like, that would be so much fun. Like, a Preds-Winnipeg Cup final, that would be a disaster.
It would be a disaster, crazy. But it'd be a good disaster because of their whiteout
versus the gold out. Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Why was that never a thing during the second round of the playoffs last year, whiteout versus gold out? Like, I mean, we always have a gold.
The whiteout's kind of just been the famous thing, but we always gold out for all season. We don't wait until the playoffs to decide to show up as a crowd.
In gold we trust. That's all I can say. In gold we trust.
Damn right. A Winnipeg. Oh, I can't even imagine Winnipeg Nashville. Even a Winnipeg anything final.
But then again, if Winnipeg were to head to the final, I feel like their fans would get super cocky because I feel like their fans
are cocky. Yeah. They made that smash car. It was a random car that they just painted our logo over it and called it unique. And
not to say they stole an idea, but you stole an idea. It's fine.
And then we had the little plane the second round.
I thought that was so cute. I love that.
That was
really cute.
That was unique.
I think we're always unique. And these teams just slide right in and they're like, we're taking that. And then they also take our spot in the conference finals too.
Okay.
But we won't talk about that. Down. We won't get mad.
Not bitter. It's
not to
fine.
Get salty or anything, but I'm kind of salty now.
It's okay. I'm always mad when we don't make it all the way to the cup final again and win the cup because, you know.
What is the cup final without the Nashville Predators? I don't know.
True, it's
there
not fun.
There isn't one. I don't believe in one.
The cup doesn't exist without the Nashville Predators. Yeah. Speaking of the cup not existing without a team, the Chicago Blackhawks are now non-existent.
Who? I don't know who that is.
What do you guys think about how bad they've been since we, you know, broke their entire franchise?
I don't think firing Coach Q was...
It wasn't.
That was probably the worst thing you can do.
I think he'll go to the Blues. I hope he goes to the Blues.
I mean,
they need him.
I think almost any... I mean, he's a good coach. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people that he was working with wasn't it. Because their team... Not even that. Their team is so old. Their average is in, like, the mid-30s for age, which isn't a good team because you need young guys.
I mean, they have DeBrincat and Hayden.
I know, that's three, it. That's like three guys, like, max. But they have Kane and Taves going most of their cap, so you can't really sign young guys when two guys are taking up almost half your cap.
Yeah, I just don't think Coach Q is at fault. Like, I think Stan Bowman is at fault more than 100%. Anything. Like, fire him before you fire Coach Q. At least he brought you to a cup. Multiple.
Yeah.
But I think Joel Quenneville going back to St. Louis would be an amazing reuniting. They need him back. Mike Yeo is hit. He is on thin ice with how bad the Blues are starting.
I feel like he's been on thin ice for a while now, but they just haven't taken any action yet.
He has. Going from Hitchcock to Yeo, I'm sorry, but that's literally going from one bad to a worse.
Yeah, I get that. But what do you guys think, as we're talking about Central Division and Pacific Division, who do you guys think are the biggest surprises of this season?
Ooh.
Colorado.
Yeah.
They are absolutely on fire. Their first line is easily more dangerous than ours at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I could even say Buffalo, honestly, because they are a lot higher in the standings than I ever thought they would be.
It's really nice to see Carter Hutton doing really well. I mean, with another team. Yeah. I personally loved him as a Predator. I mean, I still support him, and thanks for having me, but...
We love that. We love that hashtag going trending.
No, but seriously, Colorado? Who would have thought? I mean, I guess they kind of set you up, letting you know that, hey, we're going to be good coming on. But I didn't think it would be this soon that they'd kind of give us that push.
I mean, they weren't bad in the playoffs last year. They forced us to six games when everyone was like, oh, the Preds are going to sweep Colorado because they're not as good. Obviously, we didn't, and they forced six games. So I think they did pretty well, and I think they're good again this year.
It's all because of Colin Wilson. That's all I can say.
You're right.
And Sammy Girard.
I'm here for Colin. It's Colin leading the organization.
Playoff Wilson.
Playoff Wilson is regular season Wilson, and I will stand by it.
I can agree with that.
Minnesota isn't doing too bad either.
Yeah, exactly.
As weird as that sounds. Yes, he's better. Weird as it feels saying that.
Yeah, I think they're only 1 point behind us in the standings after the loss against Arizona.
I think it's two. Oh, no, it is one. That's unsettling.
Way to dim the mood.
Love that. I am not fond of the Minnesota Wild franchise.
Is anyone, though, really, besides Wild fans?
Who is Ryan Suter? I'm not really sure. He hopes he's better.
Yeah. Kind of forgot who Suter is.
But also, that saying is kind of irrelevant now, though, because we don't have Weber.
Yeah.
Okay. Sad.
So Yossi and PK are better?
Yossi and Ellis?
Yossi and Ellis?
Yossi and Ekholm?
It doesn't add up anymore, but I will always continue to boo Ryan Suter every time he touches the puck.
100%.
Do you guys feel like that's still necessary?
No, it's absolutely ridiculous and completely unnecessary, but it's also really, really fun.
Yeah, I could agree
with
that.
Who doesn't love making Ryan Suter uncomfortable and his old stopping grounds?
That's very true.
I mean, come on.
Do you think sometimes that the boos help the player, like, do better in the game?
I don't know. I think it depends with every player. I mean, it depends if a player has really good confidence or kind of maybe the slump that they're in. Maybe not even just the player's personality, but how they're doing right now. I mean, there's just no way to tell. There's no way to tell if how someone's doing in a game, how they're feeling emotionally. I mean, if they're in a slump, they're obviously going to be a little bit more like, ooh, they're booing me. Yikes. But if they're doing well, they're going to be like, okay, I'm going to do this for you. You're going to boo me. I'm going to do great. I'm going to score. I'm going to make great passes. Whatever you're wanting to do, you're going to say, yeah, fans, who are you? All I can see are my stats.
Yeah, I mean, imagine Patrick Kane. Like, I hate to even mention him, but I mean, every team in the league doesn't like him. I can name 10 teams right now that boo him every time he touches the puck, but here he is, scoring goals on every single team and being a monster on and off the ice.
Yikes.
I mean, you could say the same about PK, too. We're going to change the subject from that, Abby.
Thanks.
I think you could say the same thing about PK because, like, I mean, he gets booed by teams that literally have no reason.
Like Philly?
Philly, yeah. Yeah,
and that's because of his roots in Montreal. Like, that's holding on to a little bit too long, I think.
I mean,
but then again, we can't really say anything at that point.
Very true.
I'm not complaining about our players getting booed as long as people don't complain when we boo other players.
Yeah. Like, we're doing same way.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
You want to boo our players? Fine. Watch us score on you. But, I mean, we're going to boo yours, too.
Yeah. It's just, like, kind of hypocritical, I guess, in a way.
It's all in good fun. It's hockey. It's not soccer. It's not golf.
It's not tennis.
It's not tennis. It's hockey. We hit people. We yell at people. We yell very vulgar things at people.
At PK Subban.
I'm a trash hockey player? Well, no, I'm not going to go there. Never mind. But.
Yikes. But, I mean, I just that's what makes hockey so fun. And that's what makes people fall in love with it. They get to go to a game. They don't feel like they're just watching people play for money. And they're having, like, they're in the game with the players. They're having an experience. Hockey games aren't just a game. They really are an experience.
I think that goes to say with the hockey players actually getting out into the community more than almost any other team. Because, obviously, yes, I follow hockey more than other sports. But you will always see hockey players out in the community more than football players. And you will see them, not all players, but most players, not really caring about how much money they get. It's more of just, like, the sport to them. Mm-hmm. And caring about other players having to get signed over how much money they get. And I think it's just, like, a very selfless thing that the NHL players do versus other teams and other, like, sports.
Yeah, and seeing them out in the community, not only does that make the team look good, I mean, it's the players, it's their personality, and I think that's what's really important, what's on and off the ice. But seeing them in that type of aspect where they're like, people are like, oh, hey, like, you're not just a professional player, you're actually a real person, and instead of just containing all your greed to yourself, you're sharing it with other people, like with PK, with the hospitals and everything, and the Christmas events that he does. It's really cool and kind of really intimate to see, because you're seeing a different side. Instead of Abby, like you said, it's hockey. You're screaming vulgar things, you're hitting people, and then to see them off the ice, doing charity work, and just coming up with the different things off the ice, it just shows that these players aren't just there for the sport and just for the money.
I mean, speaking of PK Subban, like, the injury list so far this season for the entire NHL, not just the Preds, is insane.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's, just to name a few, we got Crosby, Matthews, Quick, Vasilevsky, Kuznetsov, Klingberg, Fowler, Heischer, Arvidsson, Weber, Ranta. That's not even the full list of players that are injured right now. It feels like this league is just a hospital at this point.
Yeah, I feel like even with the Canucks, I know there were no, like, Canucks named on that list, but the Canucks have so many injured players right now, whether they're on IR or just, like, day-to-day. Their team is slowly starting to fall apart with the injuries. And I feel like that there comes a point of, like, worriness, because what are you going to do about all these injuries?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to see the injuries throughout the league, not only just with the Preds, but this list isn't even the complete list. And this is something you'd expect to see after the playoffs are over, like after the Stanley Cup final is won. Like, you always get a big list of who all is injured and who all played through what. And it's really strange to see it this early in the season. And are we doing enough throughout the league? Like, there's been a lot of bad hits. I mean, are we just going to keep letting this go on? Or is anybody going to do anything?
Yeah, I just feel like the hits have gotten to the point of where it's gotten out of control, and there aren't enough fines or suspensions at this point. That hit was not a minor on Hartman by Archibald. That was not a minor. Whether you want to, like, agree with it or not, that's just my opinion. But
I just think the NHL does this, like, big spiel about how they care about, like, concussion protocol, and they, like, want people to be more careful, and they want things to be taken more seriously. And then hits like last night happened. Like, I'm sorry, if you are called for an illegal hit to the head, that should not be a 2-minute minor. That should automatically be a 5-minute major or a game misconduct.
I mean, it literally says illegal in the title of the penalty.
Yes, exactly. Why should you just be penalized for 2 minutes when it literally is illegal?
I find that absolutely ridiculous.
It was textbook definition of a 5-minute penalty, if not game misconduct, as you said.
The NHL just, I hate to say that they're not doing enough, but I mean, they're really not trying hard enough. There's so much more that could be done about it. But, I mean, when Tom Wilson, like, I hate to even mention him. Like, Tom Wilson is just, like, he's a hard hitter. Like, he's hard hitter 101. So Tom Wilson gets fined 20 games, but he's somebody that keeps doing it. Why should he only get 20 games when he does it all the time and he's a somebody that will continue to do it.
Well, and you say that you have a 20-game suspension, which is bad enough, but it got reduced to 14 games. And it's really hard just to see a professional athlete, or for any public figure for that case, it's really hard to see that they're really getting let off with just a slap on the wrist for something as major as that.
Yeah, it's the NHL really needs to kind of step up their game about how, if they're going to take concussion protocol that seriously, they really need to kind of, they need to step it up.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I do want to talk about one more thing, and that is the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I know, after Vasilevskiy broke his foot a couple games ago, and having their backup step in, I think it's incredible.
I mean, it's kind of like UC Saros stepping in for Pekka, but I mean, Tampa Bay is really going to need their key core guys to step up and kind of take away that rough patch on the goaltender. And I think Braden Point did just that when he scored a hat trick in a minute and 31 seconds.
I find that unbelievable.
It doesn't make sense how they could go from down two goals to, in a minute 31 seconds, they're up 3-2.
Yeah. From one person, which is even crazier to think of, I think. I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, they're not even using their depth at that point. Like, depending on one player, which is obviously dangerous, but I mean, it worked for them in that game, and a game's a game. It gets you points. It gets you to a playoff point, so.
I mean, just the momentum shift that had to just go through everybody's head, where they were like, we're down 3-2. Let's change that. And a minute and 31 seconds later, they're leading.
And especially with someone like Point, usually when you hear Tampa Bay Lightning, you think of Stamkos and Kucherov and
Johnson.
Yeah. And with Vasilevskiy being out, that's like one of your big name players not being in the system anymore.
That's the kind of stuff that I want to see from the Preds. Like, we need that. We need one of our guys to just really step up and take control.
I agree, 100%.
Well, I think that'll do it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the very first episode of Breakaway Beauties. We cannot wait for the next one. Thanks, guys.